is Peter Mulvey and Caroline Spence. That's about it for me. Gonna hear one announcement and then time for Ragtime America with Jack Rummel. Want to do that?
This one?
Yeah. Sorry.
Our precious planet is in distress. Mother Nature is under attack. On the next edition of Alternative Radio, hear Vandana Shiva on eco-social justice on the global front lines. That's Alternative Radio, Wednesday evenings at 6, right here on Community Radio, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
This program is supported by the KGNU listener members and by Emporium Presents, featuring flamenco guitarist Jesse Cook at the Paramount Theater on May 4th. Tickets available at altitudetickets.com and at the Pepsi Center box office.
Good evening, welcome to Ragtime America. I'm Jack Rummel. I'll be with you for an hour of recorded ragtime this evening, and tonight I thought we would explore some of the characteristics and some of the music that falls under the category of novelty piano, sometimes called novelty ragtime, although certainly not all of it is ragtime. This is a style of piano piano composition that became popular in the late teens and early 20s of the 20th century. It was essentially music that was written by serious pianists for serious pianists, and I don't think they worried too much about whether the general public could play it or not. I used to have my own definition of novelty piano, and I would say that it was the type of music where you'd hear it played and you'd turn your head and say, "What was that? How did they do that? Do that again so I can follow it more closely." However, Tony Caramia, who is a fine performer of novelty piano and who is a professor, excuse me, of pedagogy at the Eastman Conservatory of Music in Rochester, actually came up with some characteristics of novelty piano that are found in almost all of the pieces. They use whole tone scales and altered chords. There's a lot of what's called secondary ragtime, which I have referred to as the 3/4 pattern for many years. A lot of use of triplets. There's use of consecutive fourths and a lot of use of breaks. Now, that may sound a little technical, but if you can kind of keep some of those things in mind as we go through some of these pieces, perhaps that will wind up meaning something to you. We're going to start off with the piece that really sort of broke ground on this, even though a few other pieces predate this one. From 1921, here is a piece by Zez Confrey called My Pet, played this evening by the piano duo of Dick Hyman and John Sheridan.
Thank you.
My Pet by Zez Confrey, as played by Dick Hyman and John Sheridan together. Well, Zez Confrey, Edward Elzier Confrey, was probably the father of novelty piano ragtime. Born in Peru, Illinois, April 3rd, 1895, died in Lakewood, New Jersey, November 22nd, 1971. He led a dance band in high school, was exposed to the French Impressionists when he went to the Chicago Musical College. And in 1921, he published this piece. Actually, it was published by the Jack Mills Music Company of New York City, along with four other pieces by Confrey. And they weren't presented as either rags or popular music. Instead, the Mills Company proudly presented them printed in stately gray with black rococo borders, such as you would find as classical pieces. And this really sort of set the musical world on its ear. And as Jason and Tishner say, with My Pet, which we just heard, Zez Confrey achieved that which established Scott Joplin 19 years earlier, only he achieved it in the novelty ragtime field. Kitten on the Keys, of course, went on to sell a million copies, and it's still very, very popular today. It's probably the maple leaf rag of the novelty piano pieces. If you're going to play novelty piano, you got to learn to play Kitten on the Keys. Let's listen to that right now. Here is Michael Stahlkup. Michael Stahlkup and a great version of Kitten on the Keys by Zez Confrey, also from 1921. Well, we gave Confrey two pieces here because of his importance in the field of novelty piano, but we're going to consider a lot of other composers now tonight, and each of them get one piece each. Roy Frederick Bargy, born Newaygo, Michigan, July 31st, 1894, died in Vista, California, January 16th, 1974. Grew up in Toledo, took piano lessons from age 5, hung around listening to such great black pianists as Johnny Walters and Lucky Roberts. He did some work with Imperial Piano Roll Company, ultimately wound up being the pianist with Paul Whiteman, which he was for 12 years, and on, had a wonderful career in music and was considered a great novelty piano composer. In 1922, he published a piece called Jim Jams. Here is Mr. Neville Dickey. Great performance of Jim Jams by Neville Dickey, written by Roy Bargy. Charles T. Strait. I don't have too much information on him. Born January 16, 1891. Died September 21st, 1940. He collaborated with Roy Bargy on a number of pieces. He worked for the Imperial Piano Roll Company and actually did more with piano rolls, I guess, than anything else. But in 1916, he had a piece called Hot Hands, which kind of predated some of the rest of these, but certainly was an indication of his compositional ability. And we have it tonight as played by George Foley. Thank you. All right, great piece by Charlie Strait, Hot Hands from 1916. That was George Foley. Rube Bloom was born and died in New York City. Born April 24th, 1902, died March 30th, 1976. He was entirely self-taught. He played something at the piano, memorized what he was doing, and then he got somebody else to write it down for publication. He was a great songwriter. Wrote Song of the Bayou, Give Me the Simple Life, Penthouse Serenade, Big Man from the South, Fools Rush In, and so on, and was much sought after as an arranger of hit songs. He also wrote quite a number of novelty piano pieces, and this is probably his most famous work. From 1926, it's called Spring Fever. Let's get Dick Hyman and John Sheridan back for an encore. Thank you. Wow. Spring Fever. Rube Bloom wrote it. Dick Hyman and John Sheridan just played it. Billy Merrill. My goodness. Born and died in London, England, May 31st, 1902 to March 25th, 1959. He was a child prodigy. Began formal training at age 5 and went on from there. Jason and Tishner consider him to be the finest pianist of all. He had his own Billy Merrill School of Music with branches all over the world, and he was extremely popular. His most successful number, which became his theme song, was Marigold from 1927. Let's listen to that as played by a fellow Britisher, Susan Tomes. Beautiful piece, Marigold. Billy Merrill wrote it.
Listen to All Things Bluegrass from 9 a.m. to noon every Saturday on our bluegrass show, Old Grass, New Grass, here on listener-supported KGNU. To hear music from Bill Monroe to Bela Fleck. Since 1978, Old Grass, New Grass has been bringing you amazing music every week on Saturdays here on KGNU.
Susan Tomes. Fillmore Oman, better known as Phil Oman, became a piano demonstrator and then an organist. He worked for the QRS Piano Roll Company and formed the wildly successful duo piano team with Victor Arden. Did write a few rags, novelty piano rags. He was born in Connecticut in October 7th, 1896, died in California August 8th, 1954. This is the only recording that I have of a Phil Oman novelty piano piece, and it's from an unknown piano roll. Here is Phil Oman's Dixie Kisses. Thank you. right. You can do a lot on a piano roll, but that may have been the way it was played. Dixie Kisses by Phil Ohman. Arthur Schutt, born in Reading, Pennsylvania, November 21st, 1902, died San Francisco, January 28th, 1965. Started his career at age 13, playing for silent movies. Played with a whole bunch of orchestras and jazz greats, including Bix Beiderbecke, Benny Goodman, Red Nichols, Frankie Trumbauer, and the Dorsey Brothers. During the 40s and 50s, he also worked in Hollywood for major studios. Wrote a number of novelty piano pieces. Here's one called Bluin' the Black Keys from 1926, played for us tonight by Brian Holland. Maybe you can begin to see why my definition of novelty piano was, wow, what was that? Do it again so I can listen more closely. Blue and the Black Keys is played by Brian Holland. Well, novelty piano was certainly not the exclusive domain of the male pianist and composer. Edith Ruth Baker was born August 3rd, 1895 in Kansas City, Missouri, died in New York State 11-22-1965. She was one of the most creative piano roll artists of the 1920s, and this is her most famous piece from 1920. It's called Bluey Bluey, and it'll be played tonight by Nora Hultz. Thank you. Okay. Bluey Bluey by Edith Baker from 1920. Nora Hultz at the piano. Max Cortlander kind of figures in on the fringes of novelty piano. He was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan, September 1st, 1890, died in New York City, October 11th, 1961. He enrolled at the Oberlin Conservatory after high school, and in 1916 joined the QRS Piano Roll Company as artist and arranger, and was with them and president of QRS until his death. He arranged a lot of piano rolls, and he wrote a number of pieces that are kind of on the fringe of novelty piano. Here's one from 1917. It's called Chicken Pranks. And once again, we turn to a piano roll, this one pumped by Dick Zimmerman. Well, that sounded like novelty piano to me. Maybe it was a precursor. Chicken Pranks, Max Cortlander from 1917. Sam Gould was born and died in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, born January 29, 1893, died January 14, 1931. I know nothing else about him except in 1923 he wrote a great novelty piece called Whippin' the Keys. Here is Tony Caramia. Thank you. My goodness gracious. Whipping the Keys by Sam Gould, as played by Tony Caramia. Nacio Herb Brown was born in Deming, New Mexico, February 22, 1896, died in San Francisco, September 28, 1964. He was actually a Southern California real estate mogul who composed popular songs on the side. In 1927, he did Doll Dance, and it became wildly successful, inspired many creative interpretations from virtuoso pianists of the day. Let's listen to Doll Dance, played by Frederick Hodges. Well, that's actually a melody that some of you may have recognized. Doll Dance by Nacio Herb Brown from 1927, played by Frederick Hodges. That's a melody that is still played by dance bands today, although it started its life as a novelty piano piece. Well, I mentioned earlier that novelty piano was not the exclusive domain of the male pianist and composer, and another excellent example is Pauline Alpert. Alpert was born and died in New York City, born December 27th, 1900, died April 11th, 1988. And according to the liner notes of our next performer, Pauline Alpert was America's preeminent female novelty pianist whose popularity live and on radio extended into the 40s and 50s. One of her early stage acts involved performing on a piano suspended above the stage. Let's listen to a piece she wrote in 1927 called The Perils of Pauline, played tonight by Alex Hassan. Thank you. Well, that was pretty special. Perils of Pauline, written by Pauline Alpert, played by Alex Hasson. Well, we're going to go way back in time now to an early recording. The fidelity is not great, but the talent is exceptional. And we're going to talk about a woman named V. Lawnhurst. She was actually born Laura Lowenhertz, but changed her name to a stage name of V. Lawnhurst. She was a child prodigy, born in 1909, died in 1992. In addition to her musical skills, she could write upside down and backwards. She won awards in competitive ice skating and was a published poet by the age of 10. While still in her teens, she appeared on radio, published two of her own novelty piano solos, made her first solo phonograph record, began recording piano rolls, and was invited to become one of the original members of the popular musical review Roxy's Gang, which is sort of like being invited to join Disney Mouseketeers back in the 50s and 60s. She also did a lot of piano roll arrangements for the Welty and the Ampico piano roll companies. Let's listen to her play a piece called Breakin' the Piano, written actually by Billy James, but this is a performance by V. Lawnhurst from 1922. Pretty scratchy, but great talent. V. Lawnhurst playing Breakin' the Piano back in 1922. Well, novelty piano is still being written today, although not a whole lot of it, and probably the premier composer of that is Robin Frost, who was born in Washington, D.C. in 1930, but moved to California when he was four. Plays piano, he plays coronet, and has been writing ragtime ever since. A lot of it has been done as piano rolls, actually, because it's pretty difficult to play. But let's listen to one from 1980 called Space Shuffle. And here is Matthew Davidson. Matthew Davidson playing Space Shuffle by Robin Frost. And that brings us to a close here. We have been listening to some great examples of novelty piano, novelty ragtime piano, perhaps, in most cases. We've considered 14 different composers, including one of today. And hope you've enjoyed that as much as I've enjoyed bringing it to you. This is Jack Rummel saying thanks for joining us on Ragtime America, and I hope you'll listen in again on some Thursday evening for some more recorded ragtime. The time is 9 o'clock. You are listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned for Swing Shift.
Thanks as always, Jack, and a hearty good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dave Gloss with tonight's version of Swing Shift. Tonight, we swing into the wee small hours of the morning with some wonderful tunes that take us around the clock. So stay tuned for some fun sounds. We'll be right back. Tonight I'm doing a bit of a show faux pas, and in that we are playing a ballad to get started this evening. And it's because it's from one of my favorite tenors of the big band years, of course, the one and only Ben Webster, who could play a ballad like nobody else. And here's his version of our title tune of the evening, In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning. Mm-hmm.